Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Podcast. This is your Thursday trade edition. Told you I was going to do some value stuff in terms of, looking at some teams that are, potentially rebuilding, looking at some maybe buy low opportunities. One of the things I think as we sort of do a Thursday trade edition, let's mix a little theory with some trades. So I would say, if you're thinking about a dynasty trade at the deadline, think about a dynasty trade. Don't force yourself into something that is, dynasty textbook, right? Don't force yourself into something that's very cliche dynasty, right? So what do I mean by that? Rebuilding teams that are contending, that aren't contending right now, need to build around young players for the future. That's nice. However, I think there's some key opportunities that you miss, right? I think the way you think about maybe retooling your team, you need to take a shot on discounts, take a shot on high upside guys that are discounts, take a shot on profiles that are discounts. That doesn't always mean young players, right? So I would challenge you to think about a little bit differently about how we think of the trades that you might make, right? So I think, for example, right now, I don't think the market is to say go out into the quarterback market and get really young, right? I don't think that's the play right now. If you're trying to find some discounts and some deals, and I'll sort of walk you through some of them in here. Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford, guys that we like. You know, there's some Prescott stuff in here as well that I think is pretty gettable. I would sort of challenge you to think about it a little bit differently, right? In terms of the way we put together our teams, let's look at some discount profiles and let's attack them as opposed to, just saying, hey, I need picks, I need to retool, right? You can trade away picks if you're rebuilding. You are given picks as a team to use to make your team better. That does not always mean sitting and waiting until May to pick them on the clock in rookie draft. That may mean using them right now to take a shot on a guy that's a discount, right? It's not always the right play, right? It might give up some upside. You have to sort of use your brain in doing some of those, but again, use some of our rules, right? Top 30 guys in Dynasty, we're sort of willing to go out there and use an additional a future first for, right? That's typically like the random future first. This year you probably have a better idea whether or not that's a late first or an early first, right? If it's where in the round it is, just keep in mind that if you're looking at like the cutoff for like the sixth pick overall, usually the fifth or sixth round or so is a good way to kind of think about that historically. The number one overall pick is typically at about 20. Right? The number two pick's typically around 32 or so. Then it kind of shrinks down, from that basically. It kind of goes like 12, 10, 8, 6, kind of like as the spread of the picks there. If you think about that, right, you could go back and sort of look. Prior editions of AOD have that, but if you think about it, like end of the sixth round there, or end of the fifth round there, you're really kind of getting into the end of where your non-contending picks are, right? That's where, or your non-playoff picks, like that's kind of where they end up falling historically. So, again, are different classes better? Maybe. Yes, they are. But I think, generally speaking, you don't see it's usually the first round, the 12th pick or so, right around pick 100. And so you might see a couple more sort of in that range, but it typically hasn't been, you see 19 guys in the top 100, something like that. That has been not something that's super common. So those are a couple of rules that I would think about. So again, if you're getting top 30, top 40 pick for a playoff first, that's probably a historic value, right? You're probably trending in the right direction. So that's kind of the way I think about that. You know, that's kind of the theory there to that rule. So just sort of some things to keep in mind is some, you know, just as, you know, some simple rules on that. That's kind of how I break that down. So about fifth round, anything sort of non-playoff, it's kind of in that fifth round and earlier in the draft, and in that playoff range, kind of sixth round and beyond, right? So that's kind of the way I think of it in terms of assets. So again, if we can turn those late firsts into top 50 picks, top 40 picks, right? That is probably going to beat what you get at the pick later on. So just an idea. And again, I think that gets warped a little bit when people think the class is going to be good. So, you know, just for what that's worth. All right. So Prescott here, quarterback 10 in Dynasty over at Keep Trade Cut. Quarterback 11. I'm sorry. He's quarterback 12. So quarterback 11 is actually Lawrence. 10 is Watson. Prescott fits right in at the Keep Trade Cut value with a mid first round rookie pick. So again, that is something that I would do. And again, that is historically, depending on how you want to sort of measure that mid first round pick, that is early for that pick. All right. So that pick at Keep Trade Cut is 44. So I would say like a mid, you know, 106 is probably you know, a little bit late, maybe around later than that historically. So that's maybe a little bit of a juice on the pick, but also, you know, when you think about Prescott, like we probably like him more than 36 overall, right? So just that's a good way to, a good proxy to think about it, and some different ways to think about it. So so some trades that I've seen, and I just pulled these from the database. ETN for Prescott and Rush. It's interesting if you're trying to go to a premium position. Gaskin, Justice Hill, and a first for Prescott and Jamichael Hasty. Again, where that first is interesting, but if that's middle of the round, that's Gaskin and Hill are basically roster filler. And Prescott and Hasty, like, Hasty's not a big part of that deal, but he's actually not nothing in that deal, which I think is an interesting aspect of it. Jamar Chase, Tyler Allgeier, Sam Howell, and a second for Prescott, Chubb, and Gesicki. I come back to that one and I'm like, all right, like, which side's contending? It's probably the Prescott, Chubb, Gesicki side, but I think of, right, even if I'm not contending, I kind of want that side. I'm like, all right, I can kind of unwind Chubb if I need to for something more than basically he's valued at this deal, right? That would kind of be the way that I think about that. Again, you're going non-premium positions to a premium position. And I think your second and third best players in this deal, you know, I would say Chase is the best player in this deal. Chubb and Prescott are your next two. Again, even if you're not contending, that side's pretty interesting. Gesicki's probably a value, right? So again, thinking about it a little bit differently than you might otherwise consider it. Jameson Williams in a first for Prescott in a second. Again, I'd be curious to know where those picks are, but as a general rule, like that's something, I think that's a pretty good deal there, right? Non-premium positions, mid first round rookie picks for premium quarterback. Yes, that's a good calculus. And honestly, something that seems like it's happening more and more frequently with some of the slide in the value. You know, if you look at Prescott, like quarterback 12, last year that was in the top 18 to 20 of startup drafts. Now it actually looks like it's somewhere in the third round, if you look at some different, you know, some different valuations and stuff like that. So certainly that has slipped a little bit, and that makes an opportunity to be into the quarterback market in some different ways. All right, a 2023 second for Russell Wilson. I do that. Chris Godwin for Russell Wilson. Probably do that as well. Mac Jones, J.K. Dobbins, Amon-Ra St. Brown. That is for Russell Wilson, Javonte Williams, and Terry McLaurin. I just sort of put this one as like, all right, like I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. But again, we don't let wide receivers sort of in that range be a huge difference in terms of how we value these guys. And I'd much rather have Russell Wilson than Mac Jones long term. So Dobbins for Williams, I don't know. Like we could sort of debate that one, but it's enough of a wash that I sort of come back to it. And I'm like, I think I like the Williams side better as I sit here right now. And I like the quarterback side better. Like you should definitely lean in that direction. a 2023 first and a 2023 third for Russell Wilson, Treylon Burks, and a second. This one was like, you could think about this a number of different ways. Like, all right, like Treylon Burks in a second is probably worth a first, right? Depending on where that pick is. That's if it's a mid to late pick, like that's almost certainly true. Russell Wilson in a second is worth a first, and Treylon Burks is worth a third. Like almost any way you chop that up, you're like, all right, that's actually a really good return. I kind of like that. There's a lot of outs there too. Even if Russell Wilson's not good, like any ever again, like there's still ways that you have outs on that deal where you don't hate it. So I really like a deal like that. I think that's interesting. I'd be super curious to like interview the people involved in that about how that actually came to fruition. Cause it's not something that's like super, like apparent as you're looking at a sheet. You're like, yeah, I'm going to sort of put this one together. It's an interesting valuation there in terms of how that deal formulated. Jared Goff, Leonard Fournette, and Amari Cooper for Russell Wilson and Breece Hall. That one's super, like, I like that one a lot, right? Because you're going up at running back, and I think you're going up at quarterback as well. Like, I like Jared Goff. I like Russell Wilson more long-term. And you're sort of giving some present stuff for some future value. I certainly like that deal quite a bit. Kenny Ngannou, Rashad Penny, Brian Robinson, Jelani Woods in a first and a second for Matthew Stafford, James Conner, Jamal Williams, and Amari Cooper. So a ton of moving stuff there. Only one quarterback on that is the Stafford side, right? You just start crossing some people out. You know, I'm thinking about this, like, all right, like James Conner and Jamal Williams, I don't know, they're probably more valuable than, let's say, Rashad Penny and Brian Robinson, right? Thereabouts, it's fair. Amari Cooper is better than anything on the other side. And then you start looking at it and you're like, all right, it's kind of Amari Cooper and maybe a tad bit of value plus Stafford, right? So Stafford, Cooper, and maybe a little bit of value from that running back aspect for a first and a second. Like, yeah, you do that. Again, depending, I wouldn't do that if it was one overall, but if that's somewhere in the middle part of the first round, like I'm interested in doing that. I really am. Like that's, I think a lot of ways out there. And again, like, are you a contender? Right? Because there's contending aspects to that. There's longer term aspects to that. There's depressed value assets of it. I think that's a really interesting one. It almost feels like the Penny, Brian Robinson, Jelani Woods, Kenny Ngannou side, the picks, like that team is pressing to go all in. Where I still think like they're kind of the long term bet there to do that, assuming that pick is going to be a playoff pick. Which if it's being traded in this deal, that it's kind of the shape of it if you're getting all of those players back, right? You just sort of start adding it up and you're like, yeah, all right, that pick's probably going to be later. So I like that. Jordan Love, Kadarius Toney, Cade Otton for Matthew Stafford, Zeke, and Austin Hooper and two PPR for tight ends. So again, like I think Kadarius Toney is interesting. Like Cade Otton is like somewhat interesting as well. I mean, Jordan Love for that matter is somewhat interesting. Stafford's a really durable quarterback asset. Like that's an excellent dynasty trade. Again, even if you don't like the Zeke Hooper aspect of it, like, all right, Hooper's maybe just a guy. Zeke, is he sort of eating innings for you? What is he doing? Maybe he's a piece that you, in a bigger deal like this, you say, all right, and then, you know, I'm looking to make over the next 10 days, I'm looking to add him to a deal and do something else, right? That's kind of the basketball trade aspect of this. I don't know how this deal was made. This one feels like it is a deal made with some ransom involved, but that's Jeff Wilson for Derek Carr in a second. That's borderline absurd. This one was fascinating to me because I could look at this in multiple of different ways. I was just looking at this and I actually shared it with the group, and I was like, I could look at this trade and it's so disorienting. And I could look at it like over and over and over again and think about it in different ways about different player arcs and all this stuff. I come down on it on the Tua side, but I think it's a really interesting aspect of a deal. Tua and Dobbins for Derek Carr and Walker. All right, what do you take? Well, you take the premium player at premium position and Like, oh my gosh, are we putting, like, is that description in the same sentence as Tua's name? It has been so far this year. Again, I like Carr longer term, but you're paying sort of the high-end running back for the high-end quarterback and kind of doing the Dobbins for Carr swap. That's an interesting one. I think in this deal, I take the Tua side. And even though I don't like, I'm never going to go to bed sleeping comfortably thinking like, yeah, you know, I'm building around Tua. Like, still color me a bit skeptical on that. But he's been really good. And I think, you know, you can put Tua in a deal that gets you an elite quarterback in a way that I'm not sure, necessarily sure that you can do with Walker. And I've tried with Walker. I have a couple of spots with Walker where I actually picked him for the specific intent of using him in a deal at some point. I just haven't, like, again, that has broken well for me, and I still haven't been able to cash it in. So still looking to do that. A couple of seconds and a couple of thirds for Derek Carr. That's interesting. Someone traded a third for Derek Carr. Again, I don't, that seems like a hostage type situation. So I would, that's probably not where he's going, but you know, there's, that Derek Carr is pretty cheap in a variety of those deals. Like, I think the second and two-thirds, you know, 2 seconds and two-thirds for Derek Carr is probably too expensive. It's probably more than you actually needed to pay for him, and obviously one-third is super less than you're going to need to pay for him. All right, so that's some quarterback stuff, some different ideas. Again, I like all of those. I like Wilson. I like Carr, Stafford, right? I think they're all depressed in price. Dak Prescott as well, right? Probably even do some more content as we think about some more, but those are just some quarterback deals that I like, and I like all those profiles kind of at the cost they're at. Najee Harris, running back 19 at keep trade cut. By the way, Mike Tomlin ran, all but ran Najee Harris over with a dump truck at a press conference this week, last week, and then gave him 20 carries. He went 99 yards and basically had the best game of his career. It feels to me that Mike Tomlin's tactic with Najee Harris is like public, I'm not going to say humiliation, but public motivation. And you see this sometimes with some different players. Some guys don't respond to it. Some guys do. But coaches will sometimes, do the whole public, do the whole public motivation thing to certain players. And it seems like that's the tactic that Mike Tomlin uses for Najee Harris. So I find that interesting, overall. And it just, that's what it felt like more than it actually felt like a demotion. Right? It felt like the dressing down was more meant as a motivational tactic than it was necessarily an announcement of a demotion. I just found that one interesting. And so I'm not, like, I am sort of discounting what Mike Tomlin says about Najee Harris publicly, because I think that there's motivations other than necessarily the truth. And that's frankly probably why Mike Tomlin's a really good coach. So Tyler Algier, Avery Williams, a first and a second next year for Najee Harris, Brandon Cooks, and Taysom Hill. Again, that second for Hill is kind of right. Like that, you know, I don't know, Algier, sort of Algier for Cooks, something like that. You know, like that's kind of right. And sort of in that range, the second for Cooks, right? Like that's kind of it. And then it's really like a first in Algier, something like that for Najee Harris, right? That seems like it fits. Again, if that picks later, I'm really interested in that. Again, you figure this team is making the trade for Najee Harris, Cooks, and Taysom Hill because they're contending. So I assume that that pick is going to be a later part of the first round, and I dig it. Damien, by the way, I think that Najee Harris is both a contending and a long-term piece. Right? He's kind of the ultimate blend here. Like, he's a guy, it almost doesn't matter what you're doing right now. Like, go after him, and whether you're contending or not. Like, you can, if someone, has Najee Harris, like, you can, and is frustrated by him, you can sell them contending pieces if you're retooling your team for next year. And similarly, like, if someone's, you know, rebuilding, you can send them maybe some young assets, something like that, and take on Najee Harris as a contender. Like, I think that you can go at him both ways. Damian Pierce for Najee Harris in a second. I like that. I think that's, Harris is probably the long-term bet, even if it feels a little rough right now. Again, you take first-round running backs that have hit over day three, round four, you know, running backs those type of profiles. You take the Najee Harris profile of that historically. You take it every time you've gotten the opportunity to do it, and it's been successful. Kenneth Walker for Najee Harris is second and a third. Walker's so insulated right now, or feels so insulated, that you know, maybe you can actually get more than this for him. But I think like sort of that direction is an interesting one, a place to explore. Can you add more to that deal would sort of be my question then. You know, is that a playoff second, a playoff third? Like that feels a little, actually a little light for Walker. But I put it in here because I think it sort of speaks to the idea that Najee Harris is really underpriced relative to, you know, some cheaper profiles that he, you know, that were going, you know, later than him earlier this year. So. A 2024 first for Walker, for Harris, I'm in. Not Miles Sanders for Harris, like I'm in. Again, that's you look at that a couple of different ways, right? The 2024 first for Harris is something you give to a team that's rebuilding. Miles Sanders for Najee Harris is something you give to a team that's contending, right? See, there's multiple ways to add a guy like Najee Harris, and I think that some of those deals are a good example of that. Deontay Foreman for James Cook. James Cook is... you know, if you're trying to take like a longer term bet, he's one I think that's interesting. I think like a situational guy like Deontay Foreman, I think that's actually an interesting. I think he has outs for 2023, so that's something that I would sort of bear in mind. I think he could be a potential starter, but I would take the Cook profile longer term over him. Again, I think Singletary could walk in free agency and Cook find himself in a really good job and trade at a much higher value than Foreman, even in the offseason coming up. There's some additional stuff here with like Kareem Hunt I thought was interesting, even from like a cheaper perspective. This is like almost dirt cheap. Drew Lock, Elijah Moore for Kareem Hunt, Latavius Murray is second. That's almost, I mean, heck, that's almost Hunt for free. Chase Claypool for Hunt. Like, I don't know if he's like, gonna what his next contract is gonna look like or where it's gonna look like or the opportunity, but I think that that's like he has a better opportunity to be an uptick guy in free agency than I think Claypool even. And honestly, I'd be kind of bailing on Elijah Moore right now. Like that's a disastrous arc for him at this point, so those feel like free Hunt shots, honestly. And almost like some roster laundering, if you will. Tyler Heinicke for Alexander Madison's pretty cheap for Madison, impending free agent. Mariota for Madison is also pretty cheap for Madison, an impending free agent. I'd think about something in the third round valuation for Damian Harris, an impending free agent. That would be some thoughts. Additionally, maybe a shot on a guy like Pierre Strong, who could be an injury away guy. Dearness Johnson as a throw-in could be an injury away guy with some free agent buzz in front of him. Heck, guy like Malik Davis and Dallas could find himself as being like the an injury away guy. Or, you know, if Pollard walks and they cut Zeke or something like that, he could be a de facto one for a moment in time. So those are just some names to think about as well when you're looking down the line. I also have I'm just gonna pull it up here. I didn't initially have it, but I'm gonna have it here in terms of some of the contract stuff that we were working on over the offseason and, you know, who's kind of going to be free agents. And I'm just looking here at, scheduled for free agency. I just want to check and make sure running backs. Let's see here. Here we go. Saquon Barkley, Devin Singletary, Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs. Notable backups include Jamal Williams, actually a free agent, Daryl Henderson, Melvin Gordon, Rex Burkhead, Kenyon Drake, all free agents. So, you know, thinking about, you know, Breed is obviously back. We're already rostering Singletary. I'm not sure sort of what uptake value he has, but I think Damian Harris is an interesting one that could be, you know, Alexander Madison as well. So, those are some names to think about. And, you know, as you sort of look forward in terms of what they could, you know, what they could do. I also looked at some cut stuff in the offseason last year. Cut candidates include, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson could be a cut candidate. Gus Edwards, Joe Mixon. They could save a bunch of money cutting Joe Mixon. $5.5 million. Zeke, again, could be cut. It'd save like almost $5 million, but take a $12 million dead cap. Again, I think I've talked about that in a prior show. Delvin Cook has a $14.1 million cap figure for 2023 with no guaranteed money. They could save almost $8 million and take a $6 million dead cap hit if they cut him. Fournette, they could save like $3.5 million if they wanted to, but it's like an $8.5 million cap hit. That's a bad contract. Derrick Henry doesn't feel like he's going to be cut or anything like that. He's probably going to actually want more money. He has a $12.5 million salary. I think they moved that around a little bit too. Gave him some more guaranteed stuff, I think, this year, or more cash this year maybe, and kind of like spread out the contract a little bit differently. They could save a bunch of that if they cut him, but it doesn't really look probably like they're going to do that. Maybe they restructure him, something like that. But just wanted to throw some of those considerations out there for you to get you thinking about them. Let's see, some other stuff here. Another running back one, actually. Sam Ellinger and Davis Mills for James Conner. If you need some running back help and you got some depth, I really think like James Conner in the 40s is super interesting with a guy that's frankly pretty secure for next year workload-wise. Let's see. Drake London's wide receiver 14 at keep trade cut. Gabe Davis for Drake London. Chris Godwin for Drake London. Kenneth Gainwell and Wandale Robinson for Drake London. Someone was like, there's no chance that actually happens in real life. I actually see that happening in real life. Like, that's some impatient stuff. Honestly, it's probably leagues that like we don't play in terms of guys that are really short-sighted in terms of, oh, Robinson's producing right now, I need the help. You know, I could you know, put Gainwell and like, you know, he could be a flex guy. You know, like, oh, he might be a guy, you know, in next year he's a potential starter. I've seen people think that out loud. So people dismiss that type of trade as that something that doesn't actually exist. We would never do it, but that doesn't mean that there's not dynasty players that would actually do it. Miles Sanders for Deontay Johnson, in on that. I like Deontay Johnson a lot. A couple of seconds for Deontay Johnson. That's interesting to me. Like, I think something in that valuation's awesome. Like, he's like down in the 30s in terms of wide receivers. He's a dude. He's a top 10 guy in terms of actually dragging targets his way. I really like Deontay Johnson at that cost in particular. He's just underperformed. I think the situation's been bad, but he's still able to draw targets at a pretty high rate. I like that as a skill, for sure. Some other ones, some Sutton stuff. Michael Pittman and Jerome Ford for Christian Kirk and Cortland Sutton. That almost feels like Jerome Ford for Cortland Sutton, right? Pittman and Kirk are somewhat close, and so Jerome Ford for Sutton, that's pretty cheap. Elijah Moore and Cam Akers for Jamal Williams and Cortland Sutton. Again, I'm perfectly fine getting the hell out of Elijah Moore and Cam Akers at the moment. And so you get it an actual usable player in Williams, and I think it's a better bet for Sutton than Elijah Moore. I think that's a pretty savvy deal. 2023 second for Cortland Sutton. 2023 second and Jonnu Smith for Cortland Sutton. So just some ideas there in terms of going about that. Some tight end stuff here as well. Kittle is a guy. There's not a ton on Kittle. I would explore the space. Paris Campbell, Cortland Sutton, and Isaiah Likely for Kittle and 2 PPR. I'd do that. Some additional ones here. I found this one interesting. I was just looking up some Gesicki trades. I found this one interesting. There's a lot going on in it. But Barkley and Cordarrelle Patterson for Breece Hall, Gesicki in a second. That's 2 PPR for tight ends. I think that's a safe leagues league, actually. So if you think about that, like, let's set Barkley and Hall aside for a second, and then come back to that, right? That's Cordarrelle Patterson for something for Gesicki in a second, right? You're clearly taking the Gesicki in his second side on that deal. And then you sort of come back to Barkley and Hall, right? I think Barkley is the more valuable player. I think Barkley is probably the better player. Hall's on the younger side, right? If you're kind of seeing this one is like, I think the kind of the way I'd think about this deal would be Cordarrelle Patterson and for Gesicki and then Hall in a second for Barkley. I think that's a fair way to go about it. And if you kind of want to buy low on a guy like Gesicki, I think that's an interesting way to do it as part of a bigger deal where you're trying to maybe reset the clock. I think that's an interesting addition to that trade. Curtis Samuel for Gesicki. And I think that one was 2 PPR as well. I'm in on that. Metcalf and Eckler. I'm sorry, Metcalf for Eckler and Gesicki was the deal there. So Metcalf for Eckler and Gesicki. Again, there was some premium aspects to that as well. So I'm in on that. Certainly, that's a two-way go, right? You got outs in the long term. You got outs in the near term. Outs all about. And then a couple other ones here. Fant. So Noah Fant's one that I'd be interested in. OBJ for Fant. Pacheco for Fant and 2 PPR. I'm not sure I love that one. I was thinking more and more about that. I wrote it down. I kind of like looked at it, came back and looked at it. I don't know if I'd sell Pacheco at the moment for a guy that's kind of lingering in price that's going to be affordable probably throughout the offseason. That's probably not the way I'd play Pacheco. But I think it's a good example of, like, it's not that expensive for Fant. Like, I think there's other ways to go about Fant. You don't want to sort of I think Pacheco's got a rocket ship type potential on the final part of the season. Fant almost certainly doesn't. So I would sort of hold on to Pacheco, and you could come back and do that deal at some other point later on would sort of be my thought there. But that's super cheap, I think, from the aspect of, like, where you got Pacheco from and what you could potentially sort of have gotten from that range and give for Fant right now. So I don't think I would actually do Pacheco for Fant, but I would be looking at deals like that in that value range, but not Pacheco specifically. 2023 third for Fant, I'm in. So, all right. So those are some deals I just sort of put together in terms of thinking about different players and different different valuations that we might be wanting to attack. So I did talk about doing a bunch of trade stuff, and I'll hopefully have some more content for you on the trade stuff here over the next week or so. So that'll do it for this edition. It's a little bit longer. The trade shows aren't usually this long, but this one's a little bit longer because I had a bunch of trades to actually throw in here. So I hope that helps you here thinking about this going forward. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.